What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to Dolphins Collective, your home for all things Miami Dolphins, baby. Listen, make sure you hit the like button on your way in the building. Let your friends and family members know about the channel. Shout out to Omar Kelly rocking with us tonight, myself rocking with us tonight, and Alan rocking with us tonight. And shout out to Doug, man. He gonna be here on Friday because we're gonna do our first real mock draft, and y'all don't want to miss that. All right, before we get started, we want you to know this stream is powered by Prize Picks. They are the official sponsor of Dolphins Collective. Thanks to each and every single one of you all. But I want to give a special shout out to everyone who watches this show, and here's why. I think two shows ago, I told everybody, when you go back, you got a homework assignment to hype the video in the chat of YouTube. And it looks like we've had over 10 videos now that's been a leaderboard of all YouTube that's been hyped. I checked that out today, and we have the hype badge next to almost 10 videos, which means we were on the leaderboard 10 different times for the Miami Dolphins. Not just the Dolphins, all of YouTube, by the way. So when I saw that, I said, you know what? Everybody's loving what's happening over at the Collective because they are a part of the Collective because it is a collective. So without further ado, I'm not going to keep on talking and letting these pretty faces next to me just sit there and watch me. Y'all see
look at Poupard without his hat. Where's the intro? You didn't run the intro?
Oh, so ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot to talk about, and let's do it Doug style, man.
I have to say, it's pretty dangerous when you say, let's do it Doug style.
No, because Doug... Oh, Lord.
It's pretty close. Oh,
stop, Allie. Your mind crazy. Listen, listen, no, because Doug be on point. He know what to say. Hit the intro. I forgot all about it. Omar had to remind me, man. But let's get into it. Oh, man. I guess that was a great intro. Called y'all pretty and everything, man. Yeah. Look at the smiles, y'all. Y'all look at these smiles. We putting them on the spot. All right, y'all. Listen, man. We got some news from Jeff Hafley that has to be discussed today. John Eric Sullivan, excuse me, that we have to discuss
today.
You're
like the owner. You just don't know their names. I mean, it took me forever to figure out that it's Jeff Hafley.
Oh, Lord. I got to do better. I got to remember.
One is Sully and one is Half?
Half and Sully.
Yeah. Half and Sully. Yeah, so everybody
Jeff
calls
and, or Jeff and John. Jeff and John.
Happens. No.
Happens. So.
Okay. Jeff is. Okay. Y'all let us know the combination we should use in the comment section. But listen, our general manager had an opportunity to speak with these gentlemen as well. And I really wanted to get y'all take on what was discussed and what were your takeaways. His first opportunity to speak to everybody before the draft from a standpoint of draft mode. I guess we'll start with Alan, man. Talk to me. What was your experience listening to him? And did you get anything from it?
Yeah, a couple of things. Let's point out that this is the mandatory pre-draft press conference that every team conducts every year. So, and Omar's completely frozen over here.
they're gonna screenshot that one.
Man, that's a rough look. I found it a little bit more revealing than years past when Chris Greer was a GM. Not that he was going to divulge anything in terms of what the Dolphins are going to be doing, but there were certain things in terms of philosophy. And one thing that he said that I liked because it sounded an awful lot like something this guy here has been saying for a while. It's about volume, and the exact quote, and I really wanted to look over to Omar when he said it, is I'd rather have two good players than one special player.
Mm.
This is where the Dolphins are. The Dolphins are not one elite player away from being in contention. They need a lot of good players. So that's one thing that stood out. Another thing that stood out for him that he said, he says, talking about the 11th overall pick, is that one of the things that they taught in Green Bay is don't necessarily swing for the home run, swing to hit a double off the wall.
Mm.
Meaning, be careful about what risk you're willing to take. And that applies to a lot of those top prospects at the top of the draft. whether it be Ruben Bain Jr. and the arm length, whether it be maybe does it apply to Francis Maouinoa with the back concerns that popped up recently? Not sure. Does it apply to Jordan Tyson, the wide receiver with Arizona, with the nonstop injuries while he was in college? Maybe. So those were two things that obviously stood out to me, along with the most definitive statement by far regarding Devon Achane, where he not only said we're not making any effort to trade him, he said he's not available.
Are you believe it? And you believe it?
Said in that way, I believe it a hell of a lot more than I did when we're not making the efforts to trade him.
Okay. I think regarding Devon Achane, I think the minute that first and second round of the draft are over, Devon Achane loses all leverage that he has. And I believe that there will be pressure placed on him to get a deal done next week before Thursday. If they don't get a deal done next week before Thursday, this is just a belief, a thought, no sourcing, no whatever. They will say, okay, if we can't get a deal done by now, then move us. We're going to potentially request a trade. This is a pressure point, because if you get past the draft and teams have given up the assets that the Miami Dolphins would be interested in, now you're trading assets for next year's draft class. And nobody knows what next year's draft class is. You, nobody knows how good they're going to be. Nobody know, not the talent, but how good each team's going to be. So let's say what team needs a running back? Let's say Seattle says,
Washington.
Yeah. Let's say Washington says, we'll give you a second round pick in next year. You don't know where that second round pick is, whether it's 33 or whether it's 60 something. So, and then on top of that, you don't know whether or not you're going to be able to get a quality player at that spot in the draft. So, but for Achane's situation, you know, their goal, the Miami Dolphins' goal, is to have you play on the final year of your contract and for little under $6 million, and then have you play on the franchise tag for $14 million, pay you $20 million over 2 years. If you get past that and still are an elite back, then they'll probably try to compensate you. Or maybe after you finish your fourth season, they'll try to compensate you, you know, while threatening the tag. But the goal is to not give you the big money. And until they have given somebody the big money, we can't believe that this organization is going to give out the big money. Now, is that a Ross thing? Because Ross will give you the money. It's a Halfley and Sullivan thing, and we don't know how they operate and do business.
It's a let's not get into cap hell again philosophy, basically. And that's something that Sullivan mentioned as well during the press conference on Wednesday, is that a big task this offseason was rectifying the salary cap situation, not getting us back into that same spot, because the question was asked, once you get that $20 million from Bradley Chubb's contract being processed past June 1st, could we see some more signings? Well, number one,
can we see some talent being added to the team?
Well, and Sullivan said, no. Don't count on it.
Well, Alan said something when you stepped off, Omar, for a second, about him saying he'd rather two good players than that one elite player. Now, with that being said,
let's go. The old man knows we about to fight about this.
I told TD, it took a lot of effort on my part not to stare you down when he made that comment. And Omar and I sit like two seats apart in the front row. And when Sullivan made that comment, I really wanted to just stare at
him. I am sure I made one of my faces that Ann is quite fond of when he said that, because, oh, did that bother me? And I understand the thought process and the approach, because in past years, I would want quantity too. But I'm sorry, when you have – You know how I feel about 11 players, 14 rookies on one team. You can't coach that many rookies. And if you're telling me, and I'm not saying do this for everybody, and he flat out said, Sullivan said, I'm going down. I'm not necessarily going up. And I thought about this because I said Isaiah pointed it out on the All Dolphins pod on the Dolphins.
No, he wasn't there, but I can have him on as a guest if you like. On the All Dolphins podcast, check it out.
On Dolphins in Depth podcast, what if he said that strategically to if he's for teams that want to come down so that he's not having to overpay? What if he, because he also said, I don't like to have these premature conversations like early. Like I'm not doing this. Hey, what would you think about trading down? I mean, but these are the things that GMs and executives have conversations about just so they can extract information and just so that they can figure out and feel out what everybody's doing. And that's part of the gamesmanship that goes on right now. And, you know, and strategizing and everybody, every agent is telling you 10 teams are going to select my guy. And, you know, you better get him before the fourth because, you know, I know that the Jets are targeting him in the third. Oh, this is all lying season. Lying. People are lying. The problem I have with what he said is, and realistically, and I'm going to be honest with you, I only have one player that I want. That
Reuben Bain Jr.
No, I would be
Delane.
Willing to trade. No, yeah. No, Caleb, I would be willing to trade.
Caleb Downs, am I right? Caleb Downs?
No. Mansoor Delane, okay. The LSU cornerback. And who knows? I think he's going to be the first cornerback taken, especially now that people are talking about McCoy falling, which he very well could fall because the top cornerback I thought last year, the kid from Michigan, I forget what his name is, he fell tremendously because of some medical stuff. And this kid missed all the last season with a knee injury. Nobody knows. Now, we don't know what supposedly they say that it's degenerate. And a lot of times, you know, that happens. Frank Gore had a degenerate issue, and it's basically going to tear. Or you have like Jay Ajayi where his knee was bone on bone and you have a second round talent be taken in the fifth because most people said he's not going to have a long career.
And he didn't.
Yeah, and he didn't. And
he still gained some production.
And 12 minutes into the show, I will say this. I know a team personally that told me they took Tua Tagovailoa off their board because they said he's not going to have a long NFL career. He's probably got 7 years in him. They took
going into year seven.
Huh? I would have. Yeah. They took him off the draft board?
They took him off their draft board, yes.
I mean, I would have hoped 32 teams did.
Stop it.
We know one didn't.
Stop. And the Chargers were excited that thought he was going to be there, too, if they took Herbert first.
I wish they had our pick and we had theirs. That's all I'm saying.
Anyway.
I'll point out some. Were you done, Amara?
I was going to say. Okay, can y'all still hear me?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
For Delane, who I think is going to be a Pro Bowl caliber cornerback in the league for a couple of seasons, I would be willing to give up a second to move up. I definitely would be willing to give up a third. And it's one less player that I have.
You need bodies. Now, moving up where? How far would you move up? As Omar exits the building.
Okay, it's my turn. So, let me just point out something else, too. I asked Sullivan this question because the way I look at the board, the consensus big boards from Daniel Jeremiah, The Athletic, and Jordan Reed had the same top 10 players. And then to me, I looked at this, and the four guys that would do it for me at 11, who are Delane, that would be one, Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs, or Francis Mawinoa, we're all in the top 10, which means I'm not getting any of those at 11 based on the consensus of those. And even some, it's also the consensus big board. So I asked along those lines, Sullivan, do you feel comfortable sharing with us how many prospects do you have that have a grade, a top 11 grade? And he very quickly went like, nope. If you read between the lines, if you want to play conspiracy theory, leads me to believe that he doesn't have 11 players that reach that level. Therefore, he would have to trade up to get one of those guys, or he would look to trade down because he's not getting one of those guys at 11, possibly.
I took something that he said along the lines. Remember when he had the comment about basically, you know, I'll take, and you love this, I'll take two good players over one great player.
Yes. That's a comment we're talking about.
No, but when he said that, instantly in my mind, I thought conservative. And he's going to take the guy that is the safest, sure shot. I know he's going to pan out and be a good NFL player at 11. And if that's the case, it's probably going to be Vega. It's probably going to be
that's what you need when you're in a rebuilding team that is severely lacking talent on your roster. That's what you need. You need maybe lower ceiling, but you need guys with high floors.
High floors. Okay. I'm not arguing against you.
Okay.
But from that standpoint, I'm taking Delane. I'm moving up to take Delane because that guy has a high floor.
How far are you moving up? What number would you be willing to go up to? I'm going to stop asking that question every time I ask.
I'm not giving up. To me, it'd be ridiculous to give up a second or a third.
So that leads me to this point, Alan, because believe it or not, I wasn't asking that original question like 10 minutes ago to revisit it with Omar. I really wasn't. I was asking it for this reason. Did you get the sense that number 11 could be moved now?
Without question. My biggest thing is I don't know if anybody wants to go up to 11. You hear all the latest reports as like the Cowboys. There are three different mock drafts that came out from three big names in the business on Wednesday. All three of them had the Cowboys going from 12 to 6 to get Sonny Styles.
Because the Cowboys are a leaky team where they tell information. So,
well, I think a lot of people, when you look at the board, there'll be a fight in the teens over those last top tier wide receivers.
Ooh.
In the teens?
I think so. Like between 12 and 17, Cooper could go a little early because there's certain teams that need that actual weapon that's shy of having the, because now I look at the wide receiver position in the NFL different than before. It's starting to become an arms game. How many arms can you literally rack up? Like these teams at the top, they got multiple top flight receivers. A lot of teams are gearing up that way. So a lot of people want their premier guy out of the draft.
But how much separation is there between, for example, Tyson with the injury concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Tate seems to be the clear number one guy. Then you've got Mekhi Lemon, Denzel Boston, Casey Concepcion, and Amari Cooper Jr. How much separation is there really among those guys? And who would make you really want to jump up and surrender draft capital?
So that's the point. That's actually making the point too, though, because there's two sides to that. Since there is no huge separation, this is why everybody wants to go ahead and grab their guy because they don't want to miss out on one of those five. Because there is a separation between those guys and when you get down to Skylar Bell and all of those other guys, to me.
How many teams need wide receivers? Give me a second. I got to get on.
All of them. 26 teams?
Anymore now that they got Jalen Waddle. Uh-huh.
Which is true.
Bengals don't need a wide receiver.
Titans, there's a lot of teams.
Titans, Giants, Browns, Commanders, Saints, Chiefs.
Dolphins.
Hold on. Dolphins.
Buffalo.
Rams. Ravens. Buffalo. Hold on. I'm not there yet. Vikings. Mm-hmm. Panthers. Steelers. Damn, you're right. Everybody team needs wide receiver.
Bills, yeah, you're forgetting Buffalo 49ers. Patriots.
Hold on. I'm not there yet. Patriots. Seahawks. Falcons,
Buffalo,
Colts. I said Buffalo. Said
almost every team, Omar. There's only like five. Or
two-thirds of the NFL needs a wide receiver. You okay?
Yeah,
you got a point.
So I think there's going to be this little run on them in the early like 12 to 18 ish. And that's where the trades are going to happen. And if we can move down to 18, we get another second round pick.
Huh. I never thought about that. I don't think they take a receiver at 11. I don't think there's a receiver worth 11 in my
opinion. The Dolphins.
Yeah, I don't think there's a receiver worth 11, talent-wise.
For all of these teams out here that need a guy?
No, because you evaluate them and you stack them up with their grades.
You think the Chiefs wouldn't go pull a trigger on a guy?
Absolutely not. Chiefs got Tyreek Hill in their back pocket.
So going to L.A.
No, he ain't going to L.A.
He's going to his physical rehab appointment to deal with
this. He is. You're right.
What is he doing jiu-jitsu? Okay.
By the way, I'm going to jump in. You took too long. By the way, because this is what I do, I did the research. There's a story on MiamiDolphinsNSI.com. What would a trade from 11 look like? Since 2000, a team holding the 11th overall pick has traded down four times. Okay, so TD only once as a second-round pick been come back in return. However, when the Chicago Bears, don't ask me why, traded up from 20 to 11 in 2021 because they wanted Justin Fields so bad, they gave the Giants, I'm looking it up here, a fifth-round pick in 2021, a first-round pick the following year, and a fourth-round pick the following year. But all of the other trade downs involved two draft picks, but it was like a third and a fourth. It was just a fourth-round pick when there was it the Eagles traded down from 11 to 13, and then you have another third-round pick for a move down from 11 to 15.
Which was the second-round pick?
There was no second-round pick.
None?
Okay. The biggest return was when the Bears wanted Justin Fields, but there's no quarterback for whom anybody's trading up to 11, including Ty Simpson, who
isn't a third and a fourth a late second?
Sure.
Isn't the Fields trade was basically a first and a third combination wise?
Fields trade. Okay.
It was a fifth and the following year, a first and a fourth.
And then the other one you said was a fourth round pick by itself, but that was only moving down two spots to 13. I'm talking about 20. I'm telling you,
should be able to put the points together to move down from 11.
It's a second. It's a second.
Is it a second point?
The points is it's a second.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why has no trade happened that produces a second?
Because they just haven't done it. People pick it at 11.
And then Omar, for you, move trading up. It's happened twice. One of them was only from 11 to 10. This was Minnesota with the Jets when they wanted to get JJ McCarthy, and they gave up a fourth and a fifth to move up one spot and got a sixth in return. Mm-hmm. And then in 2016, the Bears moved up from 11 to 9 and gave up a fourth.
Mm. 11 to 9 and gave up a fourth?
Yep.
Okay, that's three spots for a fourth.
That's two spots. Two.
I'm not a mathematician.
No, I see that.
So hold on. So 11 to 9. If I got to give up a fourth to get the lane, easy work.
So let's get this straight. You said to where, Omar?
I want to get to 8. I think I want to get to ahead of.
You got to give up more than that, maybe.
I need to get ahead of eight. I need to get to 7 because I know for a fact that Delaney is a Jeff Ireland kind of cornerback. So you better expect him to be at 8, and the Chiefs. Of course, he's not passing them. So I got to get to the Commanders, and they even need a cornerback. The Browns need a cornerback. The Giants need a cornerback. I don't know if he's gonna survive.
So let me.
It'll be interesting to see what happens. But he's literally the only prospect that I would move up for. Everything else, I'm good. I don't care what happens. And I think the running back. Love, who everybody likes better than me. Even what's the evaluator for ESPN? I like I forget his name now.
Emory Hunt?
No.
Jordan Reed, Lewis Riddick.
Jordan Reed rates him the number one prospect or number two prospect on his board.
Not the only one.
I don't see it. I'm sorry.
You need to show some love for love.
Okay. All right.
So what if this happens at 11? I'm going to put, even though it's not realistic, but I want to see priority here. If these players are still on the board, mm-hmm. Mansoor Delane, Carnell Tate, Caleb Downs, Spencer Fennell, Kenyon Sadiq, where do you go?
I don't even need to listen to the rest of that. If you said Delane, I'm done. That he would probably be. He'd probably be my number one. I can't think of anybody who's better than him in this draft. He'd probably be my number one player in this draft.
What about you, Alan?
I think I'd be inclined to go Downs first, Delane second. I think Downs, even though he's a safety, but he's like a chess piece, a foundational leader. He is a set the tone type of guy, team captain from day one or close to it. Like, you want to talk about pillars of your team? That's that kind of guy right there.
Okay, let me propose this to you.
Propose. Are you proposing, Omar?
Of course I am. Okay. Minka Fitzpatrick. If he goes on and he has a career like Minka Fitzpatrick, will you be satisfied? And will you?
I think he'll be more than Minka Fitzpatrick. Minka Fitzpatrick did not have the personality to be. Minka Fitzpatrick is not an alpha who's going to lead the way and be that guy around whom you build a defense.
I don't know his personality, so okay, I'll take that. Yeah,
very interesting.
But Downs is not Ed Reed. He's not Antro Roll. He's not Sean Taylor. He's not Earl Thomas. He's not.
Not now, he ain't.
Okay, well, I would like you to be that in the draft process. Mm-hmm. He's not those guys. But
he is a better prospect at this time than Ed Reed was.
You a lie. You a damn
and
lie.
And I you know I like you as a
You a damn lie. a damn lie. Ed Reed was an alpha of all alphas. Like
He also had some physical limitations, which that's why he wound up where to go 24th. But he was, I mean, off the chart instincts and intangibles. Okay. Well, Caleb Downs also has off the chart.
That is not him. That is not Downs.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Okay.
Mm-mm. Mm. And he's a strong safety. I'm sorry. I'm not drafting
He's not going to play strong. He's going to play. He's going to move around.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to move around, but he's going to be in the box, right?
He's a
strong safety.
Not always.
He's in the box. He's a strong safety. I'm not drafting a strong safety at 5, 6, 7, 8.
He's not
10. Jamal. He's Jamal Adams.
No, oh, Jesus, no.
Well, I know that the draft is a little bit more deeper at corner than safety, though. Too, it's something to think about.
That's cool.
In my opinion.
A lot of good safeties, actually. It's a good year for safeties.
In the second round?
They've got some decent safeties in the second round.
Second, third.
Third.
Safeties don't get drafted early.
Kid from LSU, kid from TCU.
Generally. Safeties don't get
drafted. They'll have three in the first round, probably.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good for safety. Yes, the kid from Toledo.
Yes, you're right. This is a weak draft. This is a weak top heavy. It's a middle class draft. Where everybody's in the middle class, and it's not a first class draft. So, to me,
you know what's funny about that though, and this might end up being one of the most talented drafts. That's typically how it works.
It can be. It can have the most studs in it, but you got to be able to identify the studs. Okay, people say Love is a stud. Sure. Okay. Mendoza, I think he's going to be a stud. You can't tell me the flaw that he has. He's too clean of a prospect. Like, so I think he's Andrew Luck career. Like, size, arm, can run, like, great decisions, won at the biggest level, deep ball, can throw a 15-yard out, accurate.
Can he throw a 40-yard out, though?
Huh?
Can you throw a 40 yard?
What is he missing? What is Mendoza missing? He's not sexy. He's not sexy. So there's nothing that guy can't do. So, okay, give me love. I don't think there's a sure shot offensive lineman except for Vega. So we're at like three. The tight end, he can't block. Pass rusher. Yeah. Even the top guy, he didn't even produce. The kid from Ohio State, he didn't even produce. Like, inside, you know, he's an inside linebacker, moved to outside. Okay. Out linebacker, Sonny Styles. Okay, I get that. That's an elite player. Delane, elite player. Okay. Defensive line. Wide receiver, all not elite. One of them is an elite player. Carnell Tate wasn't even the best receiver on his own team. Don't do that. Let's not even do that.
This is how I feel about these wide receivers. I think this is one of the deepest class ever in sound play. Like all of them, they're not going to be jumping like Justin Jefferson and they're not Jamar Chase. But this is a lot of nice number twos, in my opinion.
Is there any Drake London?
You may disagree. I think they're all Drake London. Because I don't put Drake London up there with Chase and those guys. I don't.
I didn't say you should. But
I think they're all – that's kind of how I view them. Obviously, different playing styles, some of them.
You're talking about – you're talking about level of talent.
Oh, yeah, level of talent. I'm not talking about style. They play different ways. But they're all sound, though. They're a lot sounder. They're going to be a good piece to your team. You know how your number one's getting 1,500 yards and your number two might be getting 600? Nah, these guys can punch out eight to 1,000 every year. Like, they can be productive.
But you know what the Dolphins are looking for, right? They're looking for Drake London.
Yeah.
Looking for
good players, seriously.
No.
Carnell Tate will become just as good of a wide receiver in the NFL as Drake London. It could be the same.
Really?
If Tyson stays healthy, he's going to be that same kind of wide receiver.
I know Lemon can be better than Waddle.
Say what?
I know Lemon can be better than Waddle.
I don't disagree.
Lemon, the comp with Lemon is always Amon-Ra St. Brown. Concepcion could be another Jalen Waddle.
I love Lemon. I if he's the pick at 11, I would celebrate it, but I know he won't be. So
it's not the smartest pick at all at 11, but I want it.
Screw smart. You need dogs. You need playmakers. You need alphas. You need
trenches. You need
this team got enough bodies.
Pass rushers. You need everything except for a running back if you're keeping Achane.
You're correct. You're correct. But okay. That's why they're gonna go safe. They're gonna hit the double. He even said it himself. Hit a double against the wall. Okay, instead of trying to hit a home run. And he said that and I was just like,
you know the baseball analogy? The Dolphins right now, where they're sitting with the roster, they're trailing by 7 runs in the 9th inning. They don't need a home run, it's not tying the game. So they need to get on base.
People can kill me for this all they want. I still just want a wide receiver in the first round. One of those picks. I just want, like, at least the fan base some excitement.
That's because you want excitement. You crave excitement.
Still a need. It's a need, though. It's not like it's a need. I need that. I need that wide receiver, Malik, and the receiver growing together, taking us to Super Bowls.
You know what you need? If you're going to pay Achane and make him a $11, $12 million back, you need an offensive guard who's going to open up a hole for him. That's what you need.
Man, and my receiver. Achane going to do it with or without.
That's a good point.
I didn't think he could, but he started breaking tackles, and that's what I knew. Okay.
Go look at the salaries of running backs. Good luck getting him at $11 million a year.
I don't believe – No.
Tell you he's going to be 17.
I'm talking about the real money, not the fake money. I'm talking about the real money, not the fake money. You could throw any hypothetical you can make it $14 million for all I care. I don't care. When that guaranteed money is $33 million over the first 3 years, it's $11 million.
Well, put it like this. The fake money is going to be 17 plus.
It's Okay.
It's going to be, I think he's going to get a $17+ million deal. This league is no longer about what you're worth. It's about setting the market at a position and keep climbing up.
The market is the market.
Show me the money. So, yeah, man. But listen, ladies and gentlemen, speaking of show
and King One, you hurt my feelings saying I want a cornerback to party with. I party with a lot of players, not just quarterbacks.
You don't need a cornerback. You can get any position. That's funny.
All right, man. But speaking of show me the money, you know, last night I was sitting on the couch, right? And I said, man, look at this Heat game and this Charlotte game. This is really heating up. And I said, man, let me put something in on this. I went and got Davion Mitchell in the middle of the game, LaMelo, Tyler Hero on both of them. I said, let me throw a little $5 on a four piece, you know? And I sat there and two things happened that was beautiful. Number one, I won, obviously, on Prize Picks, ladies and gentlemen, using code HMA. And number two, the Heat loss. You know, I am a Celtics fan. Sorry, y'all. I know a lot of y'all ain't going to want to hear that. But I'm a Celtics fan. So two things was great last night. But as you see, ladies and gentlemen, hey, man, y'all need to follow me on Prize Picks. I win. I'm trying to tell y'all, man. Get $50 instantly when you play $5. And again, don't forget to use code HMA. And for those who keep on DMing us saying, hey, can I play in Texas? Can I play in California? You most certainly can. It's available in those states and Florida as well and many more. Just go on the site, check it out. The link is in the description of the video. And yeah, man, we got a ticket tonight too. We're going to get in on the action a little more. I got another ticket tonight, so if I hit, I'll share it with you Friday. But check out Prize Picks, the official sponsor of Dolphins Collective. Let's go. All right, Omar.
Yes, sir.
So we don't do enough talking about pick number 30.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about all the things. Three. Oh, yeah, that would be a good idea, right?
Yes.
All right. We talk about pick 11 a lot, but 30 is a valuable pick as well. But we don't have a good history of picking in that vicinity, in my opinion, at least not as of late.
Shark can tell us the history. Watch.
They picked 30 in the first round once, and we all know who that was.
Who was that? Was that Noah?
It was Noah, yes.
Oh, damn. Hey, Noah's still an NFL starter?
No, not a starter. But
he's not a starter. He played very well when he first went to Washington.
Yes.
He played very well, which is shocking.
So he's not a starter anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
So
what's the strategy, though, at 30? What are you thinking in everything that you've noticed? Where do the Miami Dolphins go? I know it's kind of contingent on what they do at 11, too, but do we see any direction there?
Yeah, I think you are going to either take the best cornerback or best wide receiver left on the board, or maybe the best offensive lineman left on the board, or maybe the best pass rusher left on the board before teams start scavenging for it in the second round. Because, you know, whatever you feel is harder for you to find on day two is what you better tackle now. Because you're probably, you know, even Sullivan said we could probably more realistically move up in the second round than we would try to move up in the first round, because we're probably going to have some leftover talent that's right up there on that board that we're trying to get at. But to me, it depends on what they do in the first round. If they go, I personally think that after listening to Sullivan, I think they're going Vega Iona, whatever how you say his name. I think they're just going absolutely safe with the first pick. They're checking a box, and he's probably one of the safe picks in this draft. And they're just going to move on to the next thing and check a box. And it might be trying to get a wide receiver if one of those guys, one of the top three guys, slide. It might be trying to draft a cornerback if McCoy is there and you feel like he clears the medical. It might be trying to get the last of the good pass rushers, depending on how you view that position. I'm not a huge fan of most of these prospects in this draft. So if you say you want to trade down and get into the second round and get another asset and move from 11 picks to to 13 picks, cool. I really, you know, I think the bulk of the value in this draft is going to be in the third and fourth round and everything else.
So
whatever.
So I want to get Alan's answer on that, but let's double back though. Alan, on the back end of your answer, can you tell me like how Omar finished here? Is that pick tradable, and how valuable is a fifth year option to you?
It depends. Yeah, it is valuable. It makes a difference come that fifth year if you hit the pick. What I would say about the pick number 30 is, again, it's not about position. Dolphins are not at a point right now where they need to force. And by the way, let's set the record straight that this notion, when every GM says we're picking best player available, they don't. They all say.
What about the picking the highest rated player on their board?
At a position of need. And don't tell me every team does it. Sorry. What they all try to do is marry the two. They have their needs board, and they have their prospect board, and they try to match those.
He talked about his tiers, and I think if he has a tier player that is, what was his second tier? You know, Poupart. His second tier was good. Was not Hall of Fame. It was something great. Else. Yeah, it was something like great. I can't remember specifically what it was. And then he had NFL star. If he has a tier two player still on the board and he's picking from positions of need of tier three players, I think he takes the tier two player.
But that was precisely my point that I was getting to until I was driven off the road. So I'm going to get back on the road and drive. And then the point was that a lot of those teams who tell you best player available, again, Austin Jackson 2020. Sorry. That's one that really stands out. Sorry. In the Dolphins case in 2026, where they are as an organization, it absolutely applies or should apply to where it doesn't matter because they don't have a surplus and they're not set. It wouldn't be overkill at any position. So draft the best player available at 30.
Somebody chimed in. Marshall I Stample 4907. It's Hall of Famer, game changer, starter, and then core player.
If he
sees a game changer sitting there, I don't think there are any Hall of Famers in this draft. No disrespect to anybody, but
what's the running back's name again?
Jeremiah Love.
So if he's there at 30, what do you do?
Jump on him.
At 30? He's not going to be there at 30.
He's not.
If he's there at 30, what do you do? I'm just trying to understand.
Jump on him.
Jump on him. He's not going to be there at 30, but jump on him.
Of course, after you figure out why is he there at 30 when his talent level and all the reports suggest he should have been a top 10 pick easily.
Yeah, or it scares you off like everybody else who's like, it's something we don't know.
Well, correct.
If you have done this work this much, this long, spent $5 to $6 million of Steve Ross's money evaluating these positions, and then something throws you off on draft day, you're a moron. Like,
unless there's a gas mask involved.
or Lyle Collins, where you're a suspect in a murder.
Crazy.
Which
work.
By the way, the NFL mandated that teams could not draft him. I forget where we got that information from, but it finally came out. Like, they sent out a memo, do not draft him during the draft. It just was not made public. And because, remember, we sat there, it was like round six, and Steve Ross came down to talk to us. This is back in the days when Steve Ross was just one of the guys. And Steve Ross would tell us all the business of the draft. We were sitting there, all the media members, trying to convince him to draft Lyle Collins. And he was like, no, we can't. And we're like sitting here, you're the owner. You can do whatever you want. Like, and then the next week when he was labeled not a suspect. They sent a private jet with Pouncey Jarvis Landry, and it was somebody else, Anthony Johnson or something like that, sent a private jet to try to lure him to Miami, and he eventually signed with Dallas. But like,
and he never became the total stud that so many people thought he would be.
Good NFL starter though.
Was he a good NFL starter?
Multiple years. I mean, I think he's probably got 70 starts, you know.
Let me check.
I mean,
while Alan's checking, I want to give a special shout out to I'm Always Yawning. Just became a member of the channel. Same with Cook It Up, man. People are joining the membership. If you're not a part of the family, hit that join button and join. And guess what? Sometimes, as long as you're watching, some of the actual members can gift you memberships. And some of our members do. So make sure you tune in. Make sure you're watching live. That way, if a member did decide to give memberships, and we also do it sometimes as well, then be a lucky recipient for it, okay? But again, shout out to all the members. We appreciate your dedicated donation to the channel, helping us do bigger and better things as we continue to move forward, all right? All right, man, we got a lot of people chiming in here. Phil Jones, 4995. Trey Brooks and 11 to Tennessee, or any team at 4-7, get Styles. Why? Styles is a plug-and-play replacement for Brooks. No extra picks traded, but the big thing is no contract extension required for Brooks. That is interesting they bring that up, because we haven't even discussed that. Brooks help the Dolphins go from an 11-8?
Titans need an inside linebacker?
Titans. Oh, well, that's his proposal. I'm just saying in general, because you said earlier you want to go up to 8.
I don't want to go up to 4. Sorry. I don't want to go that high.
Okay. But what about 8, though, if Brooks was involved with the 11th pick?
I don't know. I mean, if I got to give up Brooks, mm-hmm. I got to first put a value on Brooks, which would probably be a low third round pick. So you're proposing something that Brooks in what, 30?
Brooks in 11.
Brooks in 11 to move up what, to 8?
Mm-hmm.
If it guaranteed me I'm going to get the cornerback I want.
Only if it guarantees the guy you really want is on the board. That's interesting. Something we didn't even think about. That could happen on draft night. You don't think so, Alan?
I don't think. No, I'm not liking it. Unless you get. Let's say we're talking to 8. So 11 and Brooks for 8, and throw me another pick. I mean, I think.
Well, who's not going to be there, Alan? That would be the pick if they were there. Hands down, that guy right there. Who would it be?
I don't understand your question. Sorry.
In the top 10, what player that you know isn't going to be there at 11, would you just, man, the Dolphins got them. That is massive.
To me, it always depends on the price, because the Dolphins, again, are not one player away. Like I said, Caleb Downs, Sonny Styles. And
so would Caleb Downs be worth it if he was at 8 for you to go Brooks in 11?
Seems awfully pricey. Brooks just was an all pro last year. And I understand the problem with Brooks is he's going to be
money age this
year, and he wants a new contract. That's problematic, but I mean, there's still value, and it seems to me it's given up an awful lot to move 3 spots.
If I trade Brooks, I have absolutely nobody I can lay a foundation for with.
You got Malik Willis.
Malik Willis.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, hey, more props to you. I'm making a beat writer's mock draft pick selection right now. I didn't know I was on the clock, but I'm left with Fano, Maui Noah, and that's it. That's it.
Like, we don't know you're gonna go with. Come on, Omar. Like, we don't know you're gonna do this. Come on.
I can go with Vega. I'm tempted. But yes, I know I'm going to go with Maui Noah.
Okay, TD, read the comments while Lamar does his side gig. Go ahead.
I understand that we have positional needs, but you get the best player on your draft board no matter what. Draft the best of the best.
Your draft board also includes positional needs.
Yeah.
Hate to break it to you.
But one day we'll have a luxury to where we can just go shopping because we already got everything covered. I think that's when it's not best player available, but it's more targeted to what you want to do. But we got too many needs on the roster.
When you get to where the Dolphins were, like I say, in 2023 or whatever, then you can target a specific position. And then whatever you say, you're not real necessarily best player available. Your best player available at a position. And why do you think when they do mock drafts, why do you think everybody is like marrying prospect to a need if everybody's taking best player available? It's amazing how that works, right?
Mm. Interesting. Miami can't seem to beat Carolina teams this year. Ooh, it's a shot. Awesome channel, guys. What's your take on stockpiling draft picks? Does it actually work long term, or is it overrated? I saw a YouTube video saying it rarely works. Let me say this, ladies and gentlemen. General managers get it wrong. General managers get, you know how sometimes people say, oh, you're supposed to know better than the general manager. No, I'm not supposed to, but stop acting like they don't get it wrong. GMs get it wrong. So
it's an inexact science.
To say it doesn't work or it does work, it just depends on, I mean, it could have been a bad GM. It could have worked if they were the good GM.
But Jimmy Johnson, when he took over as Dolphins head coach in 1996, long before you two came on the scene, was a guy who believed in stockpiling draft picks. And it was with a lot of draft picks that he built what was a championship caliber defense when he drafted Sam Madison, Patrick Surtain, Jason Taylor. Don't give me that look, Omar. You weren't even on the beat back then.
I was an intern. Thank you very much.
You were an intern in the early 2000s?
No, I was intern in 97 for the Sun Sentinel and came out here with what's his name? Used to eat in the golf course restaurant. Had those meals that you had with the training table with the players for training camp. I was here. But I will say this. I don't like when people say things don't work because things are conditional based on a lot of factors. Injuries play a huge part in whether or not a player is going to have success or not. And you don't know if a player is going to be injured. But
good luck.
For those who sit and say that the Packers, oh, they're such a good organization because they get, you know, great, they have successful draft picks and blah, blah, blah. I don't think they hit on any more than any other team, any other franchise. What they've had is back-to-back Hall of Famers. And when you have back-to-back Hall of Famers at quarterback, back-to-back first ballot Hall of Famers at quarterback for two decades, it makes it a lot easier for you to address, you know, other positions, or for you to not feel the pressure of you know, hitting a home run. All you gotta do is hit doubles.
What happened to Mr. I Want Elite Players? Now you're okay with doubles?
I mean, when you have Hall of Famers at quarterback,
okay,
I'm hitting doubles because I'm gonna get on base because I got Mark McGwire back there about to clear the field.
But like, you're not swinging for the fences for a quarterback though this year.
I mean,
no, we already got him.
There's no home run at quarterback here. Like,
I thought you said Mendoza was the perfect prospect.
Yeah. Okay. You want. If I could get Mendoza for four first-round picks, I would.
Oh, God. My Lord, please stop.
You could get Mendoza for four first-round picks, you would.
The two I got this year, next year's two, and 2018's. I mean, the next year's one and 2018's.
Mendoza gets into the AFC East, and he's the third best quarterback in the division.
Yeah, and I'm the one that's advocating for the Raiders to trade out of number one and load your roster with the haul you're going to get. Like, do you know how many great players they could get trading out of number one?
True, but
for a bad organization?
I would do it.
Yeah, Mendoza isn't that type of guy for me. He's going to be a solid NFL player maybe,
what's the hole in this game?
Thank you.
And there is no hole, but where's the elite in this game?
He just won a national championship, putting the team on his back.
Yeah, but that two won a national championship. Stop.
Indiana won a national championship.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of talent, right? They didn't have a lot of talent, really?
They had talent. They were well coached.
Okay, that too.
Yeah, but I don't see that kind of winning in the NFL.
T. Martin won a national championship at Tennessee. Hold on, let me finish. T. Martin won a national tennis championship at Tennessee after Peyton Manning failed to deliver that. What kind of career did T. Martin have in the NFL? So this whole thing of like, well, he took a team to the national championship. Sorry, that's not a valid argument.
T. Martin is not Fernando Mendoza. And tell me the hole in his game. Tell me the hole in this game.
All right, there's I'll shut it down. Here. Better prospect, Mendoza or Tua? Prospect.
Stop.
Better prospect. Mendoza. That way we can end this. Mendoza. Stop it. Wow. You don't even believe Mendoza. That. I wouldn't even say that, Omar.
Can run around, can make every throw. I'm not even a big Mendoza fan, but he's a
cleaner. I'm not a Tua guy, but Tua was a better prospect.
No, Tua was injured. I would say Mendoza's on par with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, I'm taking injury out of it.
He's even better.
Now you're going
he's
too far.
He's probably even better than Justin
now
Herbert.
You're going
on the highest level.
Yeah, you're Herbert going too far now.
On the highest level.
Are you serious? Are you serious right now? Mendoza over Herbert?
Yes. Mendoza over Herbert coming into this draft process.
Sure.
Coming into the draft, Mendoza coming out of Oregon – Or, I mean, Mendoza coming out of Indiana or Justin Herbert coming out of Oregon. Justin Herbert didn't have a winner's reputation. He couldn't win the big game. This guy wins the big game.
He was 6'6", could run with a cannon, but yeah, because he played at Oregon.
Man, boy. Okay, time always tells.
We'll find out.
So we're definitely going to find out. But that's bold, in my opinion. That's a bold take. First of all, Mendoza is a better prospect than Tua and Herbert.
That dope. Why didn't he go at six? Why didn't some team back up the Brinks trucks to get him at two?
Because there were holes in him as a prospect.
Yes. Because Joe Burrow is also that guy.
There is no hole in Mendoza.
There's nothing that jumps out and says generational about Fernando Mendoza. He's like Kirk Cousins written all over him. Do you look at Kirk Cousins and say there's like a major flaw in his game?
Damn, that's
Omar.
So
there, Omar. There's not no right. holes in Mendoza's tank. I agree, but the tank ain't full. It's not full.
That's beautiful.
It's 80% full, and then I don't think it's gonna go past that line.
Man, that man, you don't know what that man can do under good coaching. Not to say that he's going to get good coaching.
He didn't get good coaching under Cignetti?
No. I'm talking about in the NFL. You give him Sean Payton, man, that guy, you guarantee he's got a championship. Tell me. See, that's the thing. I don't understand this.
Here's a big question, Omar. And this we're going to go back to your great quarterback acumen. Does he have it?
Yes, he's got it. Didn't he show it last year?
I'll give you some
Penn State? Didn't he show it in the playoffs? Didn't he show it in the national championship game?
He has it. But I don't see special.
Thank you. I'm not saying he has it, but I don't see special.
I'm not saying I see special either, but tell me the hole in this game.
How many times do we have to tell you the same thing?
There's nothing.
There's nothing electric about his game either. Jesus.
Yeah.
Like when the pocket breaks down around him, it's like, okay, what's going to happen?
He's like Matt Stafford in this draft. There's nothing sexy about
him.
Bro, Matt Stafford
Why are we even having this conversation? Seriously, he wishes he were Matt Stafford, but okay.
Oh, man. Listen, man, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to hit the like button. This is what the Dolphins Collective is about. This is interesting, man. We're going to clip a lot of this. I got the vibe Sully wants the 11th pick, but he'd move around with the con- consequent pick if necessary for a specific player, I'm guessing, but what, excuse me, but that's my read. He could move up from 32 though, right?
He can move up from 30. Yeah. But you could tell he's ready to move down and he's got a batch of players that he wants. And if more than one of them on the board, he's going to hit his double and draft Vega. That's what's going to happen. I promise you. It's not a bad move.
You heard it here first, folks.
It's not a bad move.
Oh, man. Sully to Perk, it's my call, drops. What's that about?
Well, for those not familiar, Perk asked Sullivan, actually one of the very last questions. If Stephen Ross chimes in wanting to make a specific pick, who has final call? And then Sullivan answered with like, you know, he's the owner and I respect him and all that, but it's my call.
Yeah, see, a general manager that stand up.
Chris Greer would have said that too. Yeah,
man, Chris Greer.
That.
Yeah. Chris Greer.
They always have, I don't know if they're still going to do it. You always have like dinner the night before the draft, the GM and the coach, and they talk about plans and strategies and what they're going to do, and they lay it all out for them and the approach. And so Steve Ross does get to weigh in, but you know, Steve Ross is not the type of person that makes a decision. If that were the case, Lamar Jackson would be the Miami Dolphins quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think he wants to anymore because he kept getting caught. But here we go. All right.
Tom Brady, that's good business. Stop it.
Was it just Tom? I mean, he wanted to move up for Burrow too, though, right?
Yes.
And he was about to pull the trigger on Watson.
Yep.
I don't think he's behind Watson, him. He wasn't behind Watson, him.
But I thought he came out and said, he can clear that his situation by tonight, we coming. You don't remember that?
Okay, but that was driven by Brian Flores primarily. But yes.
Okay. Yeah,
facilitating it.
Got it. Because I didn't know who was. Whoa, man, come on. If we would have just did it, why would you do it?
What, get Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, he would have been better in Miami and that team around him. He'd have been better. Way better.
I don't know.
Yeah, he would have. He went to Cleveland where everybody died. Ask Jarvis Landry. Ask Jarvis Landry. Same thing happened to Watson.
What happened? Oh,
Cleveland. Jarvis Landry. Yeah, go to Cleveland.
TD, go back to the previous comment.
Well, I mixed it. Yes, you talk did. Ajax last year in Miami. Dunker from Iowa, please.
Do people like Dunker just because of the mullet? Is that the deal with him? I mean, I know he's like a big fan favorite and all that, but yes, it more than likely is Austin Jackson's last year in Miami. He's got no guaranteed money after this year.
Mm. And they already made him adjust his contract, which I would have never done.
Pay cut. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Talk Taylor needs to be QB pick. The end.
Okay. It's pretty clear that Halfley wants an athletic quarterback. There are very few that are in this draft. Green fits that narrative. Aller fits that narrative. Cole, what's Cole's name? Cole Payton. Daniel?
Cole Payton.
Yeah. He fits that mold, and that's about it. And
hey, Aller picking up a little lately with some teams. Yeah.
I wouldn't overdraft him. Give me
is it Cole?
Fourth or fifth round?
No.
Is it Cole Payton mobile?
So hence why I said fourth or fifth round.
Yeah, that's why Cole Payton. Yeah, I said Cole Payton.
Yeah. Isn't he the closest fit to like a Malik Willis type style?
I don't know. I can't. I don't know what Malik Willis' style is. I don't know. Like
greatness, that's his style.
Thank you, Alan. Alan, get it now. All right. Love you guys. No question. Just wanted to donate a quarter for every time Omar says like. Hey, that's 40 times, man. 40 times.
No, a few more times, Omar. That's love. Sorry. Go ahead.
No bona fide playmakers since the Bush administration. Get the best player available. Forget positional value. Forget room projections and position counts. Yes, use your profile philosophies and board, but strategy should be get good. That sound
get good is a good strategy.
Quality over quantity is my thought process there. And I want to address something that you said, Poupard. Name the best offensive player Jimmy Johnson drafted.
And I never said he. I said he built the foundation of a championship caliber defense. No, he did not do well drafting offense with the Dolphins. The best offensive player he drafted might have been. Yikes.
Mm.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, I would say, would be my pick.
That's how bad he was at drafting offensive players.
It didn't pan out. No argument there.
If Delane and Maui Goa is gone at 11, I'm taking McCoy.
You want to talk about a risk there, that knee? No, thank you.
Wide receiver, Boston, Bernard, Brazil, Bryce, Jacoby Lane, only 100. Man, there's options.
Okay.
And what? It depends on the round. I mean, look at me. Give me Allen in the third.
I'm either, Omar. Give me Allen in the third.
No, thank you. I'm good.
I take it.
He's no Fernando Mendoza.
Don't forget, we got a guy named Quinn Ewers.
Whatever.
Wow.
Yeah, Expos. Have you? I was watching.
Whoa. What was that? Holy moly.
I was watching Vegas film, and I couldn't take my eyes off Aller. Could not.
Yeah, it's because you've become an arm queen now. It's arm about everything else. Boo, boo, on that, boo.
Wow. Touché, well played.
Tight end, Klein, Borkircher, Roche, Raridon, Hidner, 100. Those are all players, but I feel like they just named all the hard pronunciation guys.
Mess up with you.
Oh, man. Y'all missed that I wanted Styles to replace Brooks, not Delane. He feels the same position as Brooks, so nothing lost. And he could be the foundational piece.
Brooks, I mean, well, you already have Brooks. You know, there's no guarantee the Styles will play like Brooks. Zero.
Getting younger and cheaper, though, man. That's the goal.
Okay, until you start losing. And then you start acquiring playmakers and difference makers and veterans because you got no veterans.
I trust
growing pains, baby. Growing pains.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. We got, did Omar see the film on Concepcion working Delane?
I certainly did not. Let me, I will check that out.
All right. Interior offensive line, Connor Liu, Farmer, Slaughter, Inez Burton, 100. See, I can read those.
Yes, I have seen Kyle Krabs' draft. I'm finding a lot of things very interesting about it. I actually like Kyle Krabs and I like his draft board. He has been a lot higher rated than I thought he would ever. I can respect that. I don't have him rated that high. But I respect,
When did this happen? You turned.
I like Bane. I'm not moving up for him. And if there are other players that I like at 11, I'm probably picking them over Bane.
What happened to you? You guys broke up? Had a fight or something? What happened?
No, his family's actually not a fan of mine. But
it's okay. So
I'm told.
Okay.
Omar, go ahead. What does that read?
Omar, a lie. Don't care who tells it. Greer never took ownership like that. Stop it.
Never took ownership.
They talk about because John can't. Eric Sullivan putting his foot down and letting him my pick.
What I liked was him saying Troy Aikman is like he's got no say in this draft. Like,
yep,
he said that.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, our general manager is a dog.
No,
our general manager ain't getting pushed over. He taking ownership of everything, every decision being made. He's gonna own it.
He's an alpha.
But let me. How much sense does it make for somebody to come in here, fly in on the day of the draft when you've got staff members who spent a year building this board, valuing these players, talking it out, and then somebody shows up and is just like, he could chime in? Like, how does that work?
Didn't that happen recently with the Miami Dolphins interim head coach?
Who, how, what? What
are you talking about? Our head coach, didn't we have an interim GM? Sorry, not head coach. Interim general manager. No, when he placed in the building in the background, but kind of, you know.
I mean, I don't know.
He was brought in to bring a different voice to the organization. And then when they let go for it, he could slide into the position.
But he had a voice.
I don't know what that was about, so don't ask me.
Read the comment about how handsome I am.
All right. Next comment. No. AHP, Alan Handsome Poopar.
Wow. Tell your wife stop writing the show.
Stop it, TD. Deshaun Watson wasn't banished to the Browns like Landry. He waived his no trade clause to go there. He might have been worse in Miami. I don't agree with an O-line and those weapons. I just disagree.
You can find a lot of exotic massages in the Miami, so you might be right.
So he definitely would have.
It might be hard in Cleveland. Yeah.
Oh, man. Defensive line, Lee Hunter, Orange, Darryl, Xavian, 100. Walt Dahl giving us the game.
I like Lee Hunter.
Lee Hunter, you like, huh? Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Yep. I'll take a look.
Hey, that's okay, yeah. Let me see here. Talk prospects. Supposed to know your stuff. Feedback, 100. Well, we have our mock draft on Friday where we'll have an opportunity to talk prospects because we're going, I don't know how many rounds we're doing, if we start with one or we do two or three. But we'll decide that, and then we'll talk about the players getting selected before our pick, after our pick, all that good stuff. And really feel this out and see who's making some good decisions and who's not. And we want all y'all to tune in so that you can chime in and tell us how we're doing on the mock draft, because this is going to be very interesting. I don't know how we're going to run it. We might do like a voting system or something with the official pick. But it's going to be fun, though. I think we're going to have a lot of fun with that mock draft. I can't wait to see who these guys take at 11 and 30 based off of how the board ends up. But also, we want y'all to participate with us. We can do a mock draft as well where you all could decide. We can poll it, have some fun, be creative. But the draft is literally almost a week away, 8 days. We are so close. Time is flying by. Why? Because the Dolphins Collective is here to tell you everything you need to know. Thank y'all so much for tuning in tonight. Omar Kelly, let them know where they can find you.
You can find me at the Miami Herald. You can also find me at Dolphins In-Depth Podcast.
All right. And Alan Poopar, let them know.
You can check out my written content for free at Miami Dolphins on SI.com and also on the All Dolphins Podcast.
And ladies and gentlemen, don't forget about Dougley Durong, doing an amazing job providing consistent Miami Dolphins content. Y'all make sure y'all go check him out. Leave a comment in his comment section and go hype all the videos. We want y'all to go back at the end of this video, write a comment in the comment section of who you would take at 30, okay? Let us know who you would take at 30 if they're available. But hit that hype button. YouTube has that new feature where you can get us on the front of all of YouTube, exposed to more Dolphin fans who don't even know we exist. They're looking for us, y'all. Help us show them ourselves so that all you got to do is hype the video. I'm challenging everybody to do that. I want this one to be number one on all of YouTube. We love y'all. Don't forget, check me out, TD Fans Talk. I might do a mock draft tonight. I don't know. It depends. You know, got to go check on the kids and the wife. But we love y'all. We appreciate y'all. Fins up no matter what. Peace. We out.